Welcome to the CEO Moms Building Wealth Podcast, where we redefine success and empower moms to thrive in every aspect of life. I'm your host, Kimberly, a wife, mom to four young kids, tech strategist, and business owner times three. We'll dive deep into the unique journey of moms who are taking charge, building businesses, and creating wealth, because we know that life is about so much more than just financial success. Join us as we explore the stories, triumphs, and challenges of these incredible women who are balancing entrepreneurship, motherhood, and everything in between. We'll discuss strategies for building thriving businesses, nurturing our relationships, and taking care of ourselves. Because let's face it, being a mom and a CEO requires a superpower. This isn't your average business podcast. We keep it real, raw, and relatable. Just genuine conversations with amazing CEO moms who are rocking their lives while building wealth on their terms. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, find a cozy spot, and get ready to be inspired, empowered, and know that you're not alone. Together, we'll shatter glass ceilings, redefine success, and show the world that being a CEO mom is the ultimate superpower. Let's dive in. Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the CEO Moms Building Wealth Podcast. I'm really excited to dive into today's episode because it's something I feel called to share about in my own journey as a CEO mom, and I've been trying to figure out when do I share it, how do I share it. It's kind of got a few little pieces, parts, but I think I've mapped it out well enough to where it's going to sound cohesive and make sense to you, but it's just something that's really been a game changer for me in the last probably even 6 months of business. It really hasn't been that long. And so I'm really excited to share two big things that I do differently when starting my business and how I would go about accomplishing them. And I'm even going to share a software that has been just a game changer for us. So the first thing that I would do differently, and let me back up. When I started my business, remember, I'm the child of two entrepreneurs. I knew at some point I was always going to be an entrepreneur. I was going to have my own business in some form or fashion. And then I realized in public accounting that it was not very family friendly and that it wasn't going to give me the personal life that I desired. And so I definitely think that I jumped into entrepreneurship a little bit faster than I had originally planned, but I knew I would always do it. And so I had a lot of preconceived notions about entrepreneurship and owning a business from how I grew up and from watching my parents be business owners. And I'm not saying that they did anything bad or wrong. I just sort of assumed that I knew what I wanted out of being an entrepreneur and what I wanted my small business to look like. And that's really changed for me over the last, I would say, 12 to 18 months or so. And so what I want to share with you today, these two things are things that even if you think you're going to be a solopreneur, even if you think that you don't want a team, you don't want to have to manage people, you don't want to grow a very big business, that you are just looking for more freedom and flexibility while being able to replace your corporate salary. I think that those are all great reasons to become a CEO mom and to open your own business and to help other people out there and to make an impact in the world. I think that if that is all you're looking for is more freedom, more flexibility, more control over your income and your schedule and your life and who you help, and you hit that point where you are replacing your salary, if that feels good for you, like that is good enough. You don't have to do more. You don't have to hire. You don't have to grow. So I feel like I just need to lay that framework that you don't have to grow. I think if your business is serving you and serving your family, That is the most important thing. And if you're happy and your clients are happy and your family's happy and you feel fulfilled, then that is enough and you don't need to do anything else. And for me, for a while, that was absolutely enough. My business allowed me to work closely with my clients and serve them really, really well. But it also allowed me to be present as a mom. And my business supported us in, you know, paying our student loans back that we're almost done paying now, right? And taking a vacation or two every year. And so it was enough. And I think in a way I probably could have stayed a solopreneur if I really, really wanted to. But in the last 12 to 18 months, that's really changed. Those sentiments and those feelings and what I want for my business has really changed. And a lot of that is being sparked by the impact that I know we can make in other CEO moms' lives. And I've realized that this is bigger than me. This is bigger than necessarily what I want. This is about creating a firm that is supportive of other moms in accounting, of other CPA moms. This is about serving you, other CEO moms out there, with incredible service and education that you need and that you deserve, and truly being your partner so that this tax thing isn't overwhelming in business, and making an even bigger impact in the next generation, right? Because when I educate you, when I teach you, when you build wealth through your business, you're impacting your kids, because now you're going to go educate your kids and you're going to have different conversations about money and finances and taxes and entrepreneurship, because you know more. And so you can talk to them about more. And so this impact is bigger than just me. It's bigger than just you and me. It's our kids. It's our next generation. And I'm doing that through you as a CEO mom. So now I do want to grow. And so here I am 8 years later. And there are two things that I really, really wish I would have done differently in case this day ever came. And the first thing that I would do is hire a team faster. So again, if this isn't you, then don't do it. If you don't ever want to grow, if you don't ever want to have anyone outside of you, then don't do this. But I absolutely wish that I would have hired a team member faster. And not a virtual assistant or executive assistant. I'm talking someone who could actually help me with the work. And I know what you're thinking. Well, if I hire someone, they're not going to do as good of a job as I am. If I hire someone, they're not going to care as much as I do about my business. If I hire someone, it's going to be hard. My clients aren't going to like it. All of those feelings are valid. Some of them might even be true. But what I realized was I got into this vicious cycle of only focusing on the client fulfillment, the client delivery, the client experience. Everything that I did in my business was for my clients. And I don't necessarily think that that was particularly a bad thing. I think it's why we have a 97% client retention rate. I think it's why we grow each year off of client referrals, because we do such a fantastic job, especially in the tax and CPA world. But what I needed to realize was that it's important to find the right person, because that is huge. Having the wrong person, yeah, all those things, all of those worries are going to happen, right? They're not going to care. They're not going to do as good of a job. But when you find the right person, and it might take a little while, it's going to change the trajectory of your business in such a good way. And it's because now I have more freedom to do the CEO things that I need to do, but have the confidence that my clients are being served, that their questions are being answered. We have a 48-hour max response time at our firm. And that weighed on me very heavily, because if we were on vacation, if I, you know, if I had kids at home sick, I would do whatever it took to make sure that my clients were still being responded to. And that was a lot. That was so heavy on me all the time. So now I have support. I have backup. My clients are getting responded to faster. And so many of my clients have complimented and praised our new tax accountant, and she deserves every bit of it. And so I wish that I would have hired faster. I would have let go of control, which is something that's very hard for me to do. And the other thing is that I got used to a certain amount of income coming in from the business because I was doing all of the work. So I was getting to keep all of the money, basically, right? All of the profit. And so there was this tipping point where I had to really work hard to increase the revenue of the business so that I could afford someone, but I still had to take a pay cut in the interim to make that happen so that I could make sure we were still serving our clients well. And so that was a tough time. It was the right decision, but I think that if I would have hired faster, I wouldn't have kept taking the money and getting used to more money year over year, because it would have automatically started going to someone. And so I think that that's something that I've very much noticed as a big difference, because I see a lot of, you know, I see a lot of inner workings of businesses, and there are quite a few CEO mom service providers out there whose gross revenues are significantly higher than mine, like 2 and 3 times mine, but they're making way less. And it's because they have hired so much out. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that necessarily, because they probably have more time in their lives than I do, probably a little bit more peace. But the reality is that with 4 kids, tuition for them, still paying back student loans for us, rising costs of everything, that that really wasn't a long-term sustainable option for us, you know, because that's something that I talk about is, you know, we all have a certain amount that we need to live, and we're basically on the very bare minimum of that with where my business is. And it's a means to an end. I know that I'm going to get back to where I want to be and what I was paying myself before. But I think I could have done that faster and with a lot less stress and a lot more seasons. You know, I've probably burnt out like 3 times in my business now in the last 8 years. And so I probably could have just done that like once, maybe twice, if I would have hired faster. So that's the first thing. Now, whether or not you're ready to hire someone to help, the second thing that I wish I would have done differently is to get everything out of my head about clients. And so even if you aren't ready to hire someone, I think that you should absolutely still heed my advice on this second thing. Everyone tells you to document your processes and SOPs, make templates, and I'm not saying that that's not important, but I wish I had been better documenting the nuances of each of my clients. Now, obviously, this is something that is a little bit unique because we do work with our clients month over month, year over year. I have some clients I've been doing their tax returns for 10 years now. And so poor Becca, our tax accountant, she's like, I know you're going to know the answer to this because it's locked away somewhere in your head, but can you help me? And I really wish that I would have been documenting those things better, because there is just so much knowledge locked away in my head until it's not even funny. And that has made the passing off process, the transition this tax season, a little bit harder. And we were fully prepared for it. It's why we didn't really ramp up our capacity as much as we could have with Becca coming on board, was because we knew we needed to put some of these operational efficiencies in place and get this information out of my head. And we're doing better about documenting it somewhere that is not just in my head, or having setting bad habits and having it be in Becca's head. And that all takes a little time. And we're having to do that for every single client this year, whereas next tax season, we'll only have to do that for new clients, which we do anyway, right? Because all of the questions that Becca would ask, or things that she would need to know, they were things that I had asked or learned along the way. We just needed a central hub for someone else to be able to access that. And that leads me to the biggest game changer for our team has been implementing Notion as our master database. And I just cannot say enough good things about this software and the ways that we've been using it. And a lot of that comes from Alyssa Lang over at Workflow Queen. If you're an accountant or bookkeeper or tax professional doing kind of similar to what I do, I highly recommend her program, Breakthrough Connecting with Alyssa. I think she's at Workflow Queen on Instagram. She's a gem of a human being. And she's brilliant when it comes to softwares and operational efficiencies and tech and automations. But what I really love about her is she really heard me when I said I was scared of automations and software because I felt like it was going to take away from the personalized client experience that we've come to be known for. And we have really found a way to use software and tech and automations to enhance our client experience as well as make us more efficient as a team and as a firm. And efficient is actually one of our core values. So that has made my heart so happy. But even if you're not an accountant, basically anything where you need to keep information about clients, I highly recommend having something like Notion. And I recently read Come Up for Air by Nick Sonnenberg, and he talks about his CPR framework, and the R is resources. And so he talks about having a knowledge base, and he specifically talks about Notion. So I feel that every business owner should be using Notion. This is not endorsed by Notion. I do not even have an affiliate link. But it is so important that as you are doing things, that you are getting it out of your head. Even if it's not pretty, even if it's not organized as well as it could be, getting it out of your head is going to be so just life-changing if or when you decide to bring on a team. And so I'm not saying to not document the processes, not document the SOPs, not record yourself on Loom or Zoom clips or some sort of screen share doing the tasks. But I just feel like all of that was explained quickly, right? I was able to train our new team member on how to do certain SOPs and processes, and it took us 2 seconds. The knowledge, the inherent, innate knowledge from years of doing what I do and working with clients has not been so easy to transition. And so I just really want to encourage you to think about how you can start to do this, because I can promise you, 7 years ago, when I was a year into this business, I was burning out already, but what I was thinking about was not hiring, growing, having team support. That was not even on my radar. What was on my radar was, how can I make more without having to work more? And that was when I learned about value-based pricing and niche down into the types of offers that I was doing so that I could be more efficient. But it still wasn't on my radar to ever hand this off to somebody else and give up control of what I was doing. But here we are, 8 years later in this firm, and that's exactly where I am, and it's exactly where I'm meant to be. I just wish that someone would have told me, hey, I hear you saying that you don't want to hire, that that's going to cause more stress for you. I hear you saying that. And I support you. If that is really, if that never happens, I fully support you in that. But what if 5 years from now, 8 years from now, when you're done having babies, you do decide you want to take the leap of faith and you want to grow and you want to make a bigger impact and you want to be able to serve more people. And so you decide that you're going to hire someone to help you. You will be so thankful that you've taken this knowledge and not locked it away in your brain like I did. And so that's really the whole point of this episode, everything that I want to leave you with. If you've been thinking about hiring, hire someone and hire someone to help you with the client delivery, not just a virtual assistant. And whether or not you're going to hire someone, please, please, please start getting all of this information that you take for granted that you know about what you do, about the clients you serve, and start capturing it somewhere, because your future self will be so, so grateful that you did. All right. Send me a message on Instagram. I changed my handle. It is at Kimberly Terra CPA. And tell me if, you know, tell me what resonated with you. Tell me, you know, are you ready to hire? Do you think that you'll never hire? Do you think that you'll stay a solopreneur? If you have questions about Notion, about how we're using it, about our databases, about why I like it more than Excel or Airtable or ClickUp, you know, just shoot me a DM. I'd love, love, love to chat with you. I am all about lifting us CEO moms up together. And I am always, always here to be a resource and a cheerleader for you. All right. I hope you have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to the CEO Moms Building Wealth podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and found inspiration in the stories of our incredible CEO moms. If you found value in this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend who could benefit from our empowering conversations and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform to help us reach more listeners. This ensures we can continue to deliver content that resonates with you, and together we can create a community of CEO moms who uplift and inspire one another. And remember, building wealth is about more than just financial success. It's about creating a life that fulfills and empowers you. So keep thriving, chasing your dreams, and nurturing your relationships. You're an extraordinary CEO mom. See you next time.